Let go of the 99 things to follow the one. And it's got nothing to do with the parable around the lost sheep in Luke 15. What I was just sensing one morning while I was driving to Stellenbosch, I stay in Durbanville. I drive to Stellenbosch almost every single day. After COVID, that changes now 2-3 times a week. But before that, every single day driving there. And I've been doing it for close to 26 years, believe it or not. Been working for the same company, driving that, not the same road. I've tried different roads over the last few years just to keep things interesting. But this particular morning, while I was driving to Stellenbosch, just really worshipping on the way there, just praying my own time. And as I entered Stellenbosch, it was almost like God was just poking my heart and asking the question, are there still things in your life holding you back from fully following me? And it was, and I had to sit and think about this. So what is preventing me? I'm trying to do my best, Lord. I'm trying to be a good person. I'm trying to put things in place for you. I'm trying to do things for my family. I'm trying. And what I realized while I was sitting in the car is, I'm trying. And then this scripture popped up in Mark 10. And Edward, if you can... Ach, Elmar, if you could just bring that up. So Mark 10, verse 17 to 22. So this young man approached Jesus, and that's the background. And he was a Jewish man. And he approached Jesus, and he said, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And then Jesus said, why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. Teacher, he declared, all these things I've kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. And for me, there's a couple of things that stood out in this particular piece of scripture. And the first thing was in verse 17. If you can just bring up verse 17 again for me. He says here, good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And is that not sometimes what we do as well? What do we need to do? What do I need to do, Lord? Show me what I need to do. But it's in the doing of the things that we're sometimes missing the Lord. And this young man knew the teachings. He was a Jewish man. He was committed to those teachings. He knew the commandments. He knew exactly what was he supposed to do. But on the outside, it looked perfect in his doing. He was doing the right things. And sometimes I find even myself, I want to do the right things. I want to show from the outside that I'm perfect. I'm this perfect person. And even when I was young, and as I grew up, I wanted to be perfect in my mother's eyes. I wanted to do the perfect things. And I think sometimes we lost it a little bit in the doing of things and not having an intentional relationship with God. And I think that's what we sometimes miss. And even this morning, coming to church, so if you're sitting here this morning, are you intentional? Are you here to meet with the Almighty God this morning? Are you here to seek His face? And to really just want to say, Lord, speak to my heart this morning. I want to hear from you. Or are you just doing church? When you rocked up to the prayer meeting this morning and you were standing in the prayer meeting, are you here because maybe Ants asked you to be here in the prayer meeting this morning, or your comms leader actually said it's a good idea to join? Or are you intentionally meeting with the Lord this morning? And that was a question that was on my heart as well. Am I not missing the deeper issue here? And it's having that relationship. And through the doing, and I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't be doing, because I believe you need that balance, you need that tension. It's not all about grace, but it's sometimes about the doing, but it's that positioning of the doing and the checking of your heart. Lord, in what am I doing here? Is my heart to meet with you? Is my heart to seek you in everything that I do? And that was a question that I had to answer. And if you can bring up Matthew 7, verse 22 to 23, I want to remind you, even in the good actions, it can be meaningless without Jesus. And it says in Matthew 7, 22 to 23, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name drive out demons and perform many miracles. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, evildoers. And I think we, and Andrew actually shared a preach the other day as well, is we can be disillusioned by the doing of things and not seeking God's heart in it. And even if you read the scriptures, prophesying in his name, drive out demons and performing miracles. So there's even miracles in here, but God is not in here. And I think that's the one thing that I want to encourage you with, whatever you are doing in your daily lives, is God in that? And then I want to go to John 15, 5. And it's actually something Stephen shared last week when he was here. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And that keeps up playing over and over after he shared that last week, is that abide in God. It's that constant making sure, if I step left, Lord, am I still in you? If I step right, Lord, am I still in you? And as you go through your life, and maybe you applying for a new position, maybe you're looking at making a change, is God in that? Or is it man? Is man trying to strive and to reach for something? Or is God in all of that? So I want to encourage you guys with that, is to keep on abiding in God and to really have fellowship with him. But like Almandy often tells me, it's good to give the scriptures, and it's good to bring the word, but sometimes it's not always easy to see how you can apply this in your life. So how do you shift from performing to connecting with him on a daily basis? And there's three pointers that I want to give you this morning. And the first thing is really that abiding in the Lord, spending intentional time. Like I shared this morning, intentional time with my son up the mountain. It's not a group of people. It's only me and my son. And I can talk to him and he can talk to me. And it's having that intentional time sitting at the Lord's feet to say, Lord, I'm here. I want to hear from you. And you can read scriptures and you can pray. And all of that is good. But sometimes we also just need to be silent. We just need to sit there and say, Lord, I want to open up my heart. Come, please speak to my heart. So that's really my heart for you guys this morning, is as I'm sharing, is to also open up your heart and say, Lord, maybe I haven't abided in you. Maybe I haven't been intentional. Maybe you started to get busy with the busyness of this world. And it reminded me, we moved house recently, and we started packing. I think we started packing way too soon, because a few days into this packing, we realized we need this and we need that. And then all of a sudden, we started opening up the boxes again. But it's that busyness of packing and the busyness of this is what we need to do. And then we miss God in that. And then you land on the other side and it's unpacking of the boxes and life gets busy. And you realize 2-3 days later, I haven't really abided in God. I haven't really connected with God. I've missed those moments that I can sit at his feet and that I can hear from him. And then you see things going slightly pear-shaped in your life, and I get this, just the pressing on my chest. Have you spent intentional time with me? So the first thing is just abide in the Lord and seek that daily relationship with him. Then the next one is check your heart before you act. So is it out of a position of performance that you want to perform? Is it out of a position that I really want this job, Lord, make a way? But is it me that's seeking it? Or Lord, is your hand in this? Even in the moving of this house, we prayed, we seeked counsel with Ants as well to say, financially, can we meet this? Do we have the finances to do that? Because we also want to be faithful. Is this the right thing to do? And we stayed in our house for 23 years. That is a very, very long time. So to move was quite a challenge because we had so many things and stuff in the cupboards. So it was a physical cleaning out of the cupboards and cleaning everything out, but it was also a little bit of the cleaning of the heart in that moment and cleaning up all the things that still stuck in our hearts. So that's the second thing. I think just check your hearts before you act. And then the last thing is resting God. And if you can bring up Psalm 62, verse 1 and 2 for me, please. My soul found rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock in my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. And I think this is a scripture that I hanged on to in this time is I needed rest. 23 years in this home was a very, very long time, but it became quite challenging after a while. I had to repair a lot of things in the house. It had a big garden. It had a swimming pool. Our kids are 16 and 19 now. They don't swim, but I have to clean the swimming pool almost every single day. And it's like the Lord is just saying, this is your rest. And I believe that's why we moved house. And we're renting now for 12 months, and we'll see what we do after that. But it's having that intentional rest with the Lord. And I think often Ants even mention we go into these holidays and we think, yes, this is going to be nice rest. I'm going to relax. I'm going to kick off my shoes. I'm going to sit on the couch and I'm going to watch sport. And that's not intentional rest. That's not resting in the Lord. And it's just spending that time because you now have more time on your hands. I can see the parents are most probably eager for the kids to go back to school because they're not getting rest during the holidays. They're most probably looking forward to school starting again. But it's finding that those moments, and I'm in corporate. I work normal hours every day, so I don't have these off moments during the day, but it's making that intentional time, early mornings, late in the evening, whatever suits your lifestyle basis. Just I want to encourage you this morning is as you enter weekends, as you enter these restful moments, to really see God in those moments. And then I want to jump back in Mark 10 again from verse 21, and this is the second thing. So the first one was more around performance and being performance-driven, and I was really a performance-driven person myself, but just checking your heart and that performance and then doing of things. And then the second one is out of verse 21. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. And I was thinking and I was contemplating around this, and it's actually interesting that it says here, God looked at him and loved him. Because God knew his life was empty. God knew that he was spiritually empty on the inside. He was doing all these things. He was striving to do the right things. He was doing. But he was missing God completely. I think to a large extent, he was busy building this ladder, but he was building it against the wrong building. He wasn't building that against what God wanted for him. And for me, it was the same thing. I, for a long time, I was completely deceived. When I started my career, I was so eager to go up this corporate ladder, and I had actually had to repent of something. I was striving to meet the set goals that I set for myself. So it was all about my goals. And every 3-4 years, and you can ask Almandy, I set almost that clock. Every 3 to 4 years, I had to step up another level, and that will make me happy. And then 3-4 years' time, I need to step up again, and that will make me happy. And financially, I'll be in a better position. 3-4 years, I have to step it up again. And that was going on for a long time, like I shared. In the same company for 26 years, so I've fulfilled multiple roles, and I believe for a long time that I will be happy as I step up this corporate ladder. But what I didn't realize, I was building, or I was putting my ladder against the wrong building. And similar to this poor young man, I think his heart must probably was filled with pride like my heart. And he must probably never asked for help. And that was my weakness as well. I thought it was weak. It was weakness to ask for help. And even in comms, in the beginning, I can remember Anne's encouraged me to say, you need to accept help. And it was difficult for me because I was pride and I had pride in my heart. And even in those moments, to submit before God and say, God, I'm sorry, I want to repent of this because that's not your truth. And I was wondering, so what caused all of this? So why was I chasing wealth and what happened? And why am I spiritually empty? And it was like God took me back when I was young. So I grew up in a house where money was never the problem. We went away on vacations. I remember we went to Durban, spent a few days there in a hotel. We did a lot of trips to the Kruger National Park. Money was never really a problem until money was a problem. And my father passed away and we lost everything. And in a moment, my whole life changed. And something changed on the inside of me. And money became a problem for me. And I tracked that back to that moment where that happened. And I was thinking about it and I was contemplating, so why is it an issue for me? And God just pressed on that moment in time to say, money was always an issue for you. You were always reliant on money. And even when you had money, you moved away from me. You never had a relationship with me because you had all the money in the what you needed. So why would you seek a relationship with me? And then even in having no money, even in that, I was far from God. I started believing lies. If this is a loving God and if he's a loving father, why would he do this to me? Why would I lose my earthly father? And I think I've shared with you guys on previous occasions as well. And that just skewed how I saw life and my view on money. I just had this lens on that money was everything and that will solve all my problems. But as this young man, I realized I'm putting my ladder against the wrong building. So this morning I want to encourage you, if that is you, make sure that you build and you put your ladder against the right building. And then I want to end off with these five things. What actions must I take to align my life to God's will? And I want to start off with the first one, and it's out of Revelations 3, verse 17 to 20. And if you can just bring up that scripture for me, please. And it's all to do with a repentant heart. Repent and return from your ways, because that's what I did. You say, I'm rich, I have acquired wealth, and I do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich. And white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness. And salve to put on your eyes, so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and I discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. If anybody hears my voice and I open the door, I will come in and I will eat with him and he with me. And it was such a powerful scripture for me. In that repentance and returning of the position that I were in, where money was everything to me. And I strived and I performed and I did all these things, but I realized quickly that I have to repent and I have to turn away. And you need to buy from God. He's got that perfect gold and he wants to put that white robe over you. So no matter where you are, to repent and return, just turn away. Do a 360, turn away from what you're busy with. And then my second one is, rebuild your identity. And it's really rooting Christ and not in success. So rebuild your identity. And in Mark 8 verse 36, it speaks about what good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul. And that was exactly where I was. I believed I had the whole world at my fingertips. I did well. I had a good salary. We had a house. We had children. Everything was almost this perfect, perfect picture. So if you look at it from the outside, everything was perfect, all shiny, all neat. everything in its place. But on the inside, it was completely empty. And I want to encourage you with James 4, verse 8. It's an ESV version where it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinner, and purify your heart, you double-minded. And that was my journey. As I repented and as I moved away and as I understood what is God's truth and what is God really saying to me, and as I drew nearer to him, he drew nearer to me. And it's that relationship, because God is always there. He's always standing there, and he's calling you. He's saying, my son, my daughter, come closer, come closer. And we sometimes move away. That's we that's moving away. God never moves away. He's always there, and he will always be there. And as you draw closer to him, he will draw closer to you. But it's that washing of the hands and realizing that, God, I'm in the wrong place. And then the third point is surrender control, trusting God to provide. And Matthew 6, verse 33 speaks about that. Elmar, do you have that one? Otherwise, I can read it here as well. It says, but first seek the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And the surrendering of the control is a difficult one. I always like to be in control. I want to be in control of my destiny. I want to be in control of what's going to happen tomorrow. But that's not God's way. And it took me a very long time. And God was almost pulling at that steering wheel, saying, give me the control. Give me the control. And he was constantly asking me for that. But I didn't want to let go of the control. So I want to encourage you this morning, if that is you, just surrender the control. It's so freeing. And that's where I am today, is God, whatever you want to do. And I was reminded of what happened earlier this year. So I was called in by my manager saying, there's going to be an announcement tomorrow. You don't have a position in the organization anymore. Your position is gone. We are restructuring and we're going to make the announcement tomorrow. We had 8 positions and there's now only 5. But you're more than welcome to apply for one of these positions. And she quickly shared with me the structure, and I saw my position is gone. Now in the past, I would have been so anxious. I would have stressed completely, and I would think to myself, where do I go from here? How am I even going to face this challenge? But I knew who I was in God, and I immediately started praying and said, God, just show me. Show me what I need to do. If you want to keep me here, I'll stay here. If I should not be in this organization anymore, remove this from me. Open this door if it needs to be opened, or close it if it needs to be closed. And I'd still step forward. I hold it lightly to say, Lord, if this is from you, I'll take a step, but I want to see your hand in this. And as I took those steps, I applied for the position. I knew a lot of other people also applied because they were in a similar boat than what I was. Applied for it, went through the interview process, but keep on trusting the Lord in terms of God, whatever happens. In the past, I can tell you, I would have stressed out. I would have tried to perform. I would have tried to do things in my own power, but I knew who God was in my life and that he had me, no matter what happens. And it's almost like God asking me the question, if I have to remove this, will you still faithfully serve me? And that played over and over in my mind. And I said, God, whatever you want to do, I'm open to whatever you want to do, because I can see God has been moving in our lives over the last few months. He's been cutting away and he's been chipping away the things that he's taking us from being at peace with him. And it's that peaceful moment where you realize, God's got me. I don't have anything to stress about. Whatever happens, it's God's way. And then the fourth point is practice contentment, gratitude, and generosity. And there's a scripture in Hebrews 13, verse 5, where it says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you had, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And that's what I shared this morning, and that's what I believe. It's not about the money, and it's not about the position, and it's not about anything that I can do. It's God's got me. He's got me in the palm of my hand, and I can rest in that, and I can find my rest in that. I don't have to strive, and I don't have to perform anymore. And even in that moment as well, as was reminded of, we sometimes do our job because we believe doing this, we're doing it for our manager, we're doing it for our director, we're doing it for this person that's looking over you to make sure that you do your job. And I was reminded I didn't do my job for my manager or my director. I do my job for God. And if you change that focus to doing things for people and you change that to doing things for God, it's a different perception. It doesn't matter. As long as I know that I've got peace in my heart and I'm doing what God wants me to do and not what the world wants me to do. So I want to encourage you, if that is you this morning, that you're striving a little bit with your manager, with the person in your company that's looking, that's sort of managing you. I want to encourage you this morning is just change your focus and your perspective this morning. Focus on what God wants from you. It's not about man. It's not about man at all. And then my last point, and I'm almost ending off with this, is, and that's what Stefan shared last week, is abide in Jesus. Let him define your success. And that's in that John 15 verse 5 where he says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, that abiding in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can't do nothing. And is that fruit in your life? And we can see the fruit in our lives since we've given up the control and the power and the performance, and we're not there yet, and we maybe not even close, but we're at least on the right journey. We're putting our ladder against the right building. We're letting go of those 99 things that's holding us back, those things that's pulling you back into the world. We're letting go of that. And then just in summary, chasing success and avoiding poverty shaped my life. But in the process, I didn't realize I was becoming spiritually poor. I was striving for security. I was striving for status, for control, and while missing the true riches that only come from Jesus. And that's what I wanted to encourage you this morning. Real wealth isn't finding what I own, but it's who owns my heart. And when I end off this with that question this morning, is who owns your heart? Are you striving for the things of this world, and who's owning your heart? So I want to end off with that.